Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I'm your host, as usual, Cody. Today, we're going to continue our horror comic book theme of October. As I recently stated, well, recently, last week and the week before, the titles we were reading this week is The Eighth Seal by James Tynion IV. Next week will be Witches by Scott Snyder and Jock. And week five, the week of Halloween, the day of Halloween, technically, will be Outcast by Robert Kirkman. So again, if you guys want to go ahead and read ahead, you're more like and you'll enjoy them just as much as I did. But today's episode is going to be on The Eighth Seal. It was a digital only comic book released in 2013/14, originally on a website called Thrillbent. It's on there actually right now if you want to read all nine chapters of it. It's completely free. It's thrillbent.com, thrillbent. The series is called The Eighth Seal, by James Tynion IV, and art by a gentleman named Jeremy Rock. Amazing art by Jeremy Rock, actually, I should state. The detail that is in this is pretty cool. It's a slightly different format. It came out before guided view and comic books were really a thing. So what happens is if you ever read a motion comic book, or in general, a digital comic book nowadays on something like, Comixology or, Comixology kind of started the whole thing, but, it's a thing called guided view. And what it does is it'll basically process through the reading of the book panel by panel, so you can see what it's done. The way this works is it's flash. Well, originally was basically flash based. Now it runs very awkwardly inside browsers. But what some scenes, what will happen is, the scene will stay the same, but a word bubble will be in place in it, or movement by a character will be on. So normally what would transition from one cell, one frame into another is done on top of the same one. It's an interesting way of doing it, but it's pretty fun to watch. So the premise of this, actually go over James Tynion. I don't know much about Jeremy Rock other than he did the amazing art that's in the Eighth Seal. But James Tynion has written a lot of stuff, mostly DC stuff. He has written everything from, he wrote Batman, he wrote Detective Comics, Batman and Robin. He created the character Talon and wrote the miniseries, the issues 0 through 14, which is a really good story. He did Batman Eternal with Scott Snyder. A lot of people. Scott Snyder, Ray Fox, Tim Seeley, John Layman, and Kyle Higgins were all part of that. He wrote 13 issues of Constantine Hellblazer. He did a series called Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is really fun. He's done, most recently, he's done a bunch of Wonder Woman stuff, Justice League Dark, and a couple of pickup issues of Justice League in between Scott's run on that, Scott Snyder's run on that. And he's done other stuff in there too, but he did a crossover with Green Lantern and Space Ghost that was actually pretty fun too, in the Hanna-Barbera Warner Brothers DC crossover books. He wrote for Red Hood and Outlaws for a while too. But that's mostly where he spent his time. He's done a few things for Boom. He did a couple books for it's a couple books. He did two issues for Marvel's, where he worked on Amazing X-Men and Death of Wolverine, Logan's Legacy. He did number 5 on that one. Thrillbent and a couple things on IDW. But yeah, that's pretty much it for James. Pretty cool dude in his own right. His books are pretty good. But The Eighth Seal is a comic book. It's basically, this is the premise. The First Lady, as in the president's wife, has been having visions where she sees a murderous creature taking over her body and killing people, and it's very real to her. Feels like it's happening to her, and she's on medication for it, but it's getting, the visions are getting so bad that she's passing out and blacking out, and people are starting to speculate that things are wrong with her. Everything from there's people think she has a eating disorder. There's people that suspect that she's there's health issues in general. She's running herself too thin, doing all these things the First Lady does. So it's an interesting way of doing it. The art, as I said earlier, by Jeremy Rock. Again, I don't know him, his stuff very well. I know very little about him, but his the art in this book is surprisingly detailed and very well modeled, especially the gore stuff, which of course is, you know, so one of my favorite things of any book. But the creepiness is very high in the art of this book. So much so that, like, it's unsettling. In the very first chapter, the First Lady is reading a book to some kids in a kindergarten class, and she transforms. Of course, it's in her mind, but she reaches forward, grabs this little kid's face, and then proceeds to rip his head from his body. And it's very graphic the way they show it, but she looks super creepy because she's got like extra bendy joints, like elbows and stuff on her arms, and she's got multiple eyes and a disjointed mouth and tentacles and all sorts of crazy nonsense. But amazingly art. The art isn't phenomenal. It even goes forward to like her psychiatrist. When they do a close up on him, you can see the individual strands of his beard, but you can see the wrinkles in his forehead and his crow's feet and the sunken in part of his eyes and his cheeks. Really well done, a very interesting way. So the characters are very well detailed. A lot of the background stuff is kind of pretty normal, I guess, but overly detailed for some stuff, especially a web comic, because a lot of times they just use flat image backgrounds, but they do a really good job of doing a 3D element with it and having a foreground and a background and stuff like that. But there's a lot of reflection work when he does reflections of her seeing herself. There's a lot of transformations in those. A big thing with her is the transformation of her eyes. It's pretty neato. As he goes through the story, you learn a little bit more about what's going on. You learn about what the Eighth Seal is, and you find out that some people around her are involved in something that she's a part of. I'll say this though: the story itself has I don't want to say anticlimactic ending, but because they've never done arc two of this book that I know of, it leaves off on a pretty big cliffhanger. But I do love the story and the way it progresses, and the character. There's not a whole lot of character development in this book at all, or in this little series, but, it's a very interesting, ending in the way they do it, and the fact that they're ramping up all the details and stuff that's going on. It's pretty awesome. And then of course the last section of the panel, or the book, last couple panels is pretty impressive. The detail alone, I'm gonna sneeze, is pretty spectacular. And then of course the how it ends is the best part. And kind of cool that they don't actually go past what it is and maybe do a second arc. But it leaves a lot to like kind of imagine what's going on. But the last few panels, last, I would say, 9 or 10 pages are pretty fucking ridiculous, with the amount of gore that they throw in there. But it's pretty fucking phenomenal the way they do it. But, I'd say it's a short read. It's, 9 chapters, roughly about 44 to 45 pages each. Pretty, like I said, pretty fun little, run through, and a fun little read, actually. Pretty good time. But yeah, that's it for Eighth Seal. Not a very long one. It's very short, like I said, very short story. But pretty fun. You can get through it pretty good. Like I said, you can read it in its original form on on thrillbent.com, or you can buy it for like, I think it's like $6 or something, digitally through different places. Actually, I can probably tell you right now, because I can pull it up on that stuff. But the guided read is actually probably going to be the best way to read it. I think. Well, actually, I don't know. I read it the Flash way. And it was a fun little thing. Well, the paperback version, you can get for about $11. But if you go through, I want to say it's on Comicology. I should have looked. I know it's on there. I just don't know how much the price is. You can get it on there. You can buy it paperback, but you can read it for free on thrillbent.com. Hashtag not a sponsor. But it's a fun little read. The art is phenomenal. It's a really creepy story. Kind of has a weird twist in what you're gonna be understanding. But it's overall it's a really good fun read, and it's one of those things where like it should be kind of made into something, like a movie or a miniseries of some sort. Pretty fun, but pretty grotesque. Pretty interesting. Little thing to do. That's it for this week's episode, I think. It's kind of a short one. Like I said, short read, short episode. To go over real quick of what I've been reading, I finished the first set of short stories for The Witcher. It's called The Last Wish. It is the first of two collections of short stories, because there's The Last Wish and The Sword of Destiny. Then it jumps into the proper novels, as they refer to as the Saga, and I believe there's 5 of those originally ones, and then a standalone 6th one. Actually, it might be 7th one that came out. I can't remember if it was or not. But interesting read. I've never... I played through the games... all 3 of them. The third one, by far, fucking one of the best things, one of the best video games you could possibly play if you like RPGs, and not like a team based RPG, like more of like you're, you know, by yourself. But really fun, great game. Joe was actually the one that started reading them first, so I picked it up. I thought I'd read it. I added it to my wish list, and then I finally said, "Oh, I'm gonna try reading it." So I got it, and I was explaining, I think last week, how I started to read Blood of Elves, and then realized that I have no idea what's going on. So I looked it up and found out that that's the first novel in the Saga series. but not the very first of the story. So I had to go back, and I got The Last Wish. And then next I'll be reading The Sword of Destiny. And then I'll finish Blood of Elves. Because I'm like... I was like 80 pages in, and I was like super confused because they kept talking about things that that happened that I waited for them to like do flashbacks for, and they never did. Then I realized, oh, after I did some research, yeah, bro, that's not how that works. You actually have to read the stuff that comes before it. So I stopped there and went back and read The Last Wish. So I finished that. Really fun book. Really interesting way they do it. It's kind of cool to see the early startings of Geralt, and knowing how he is in the Witcher games. Interesting to see where it goes from there. But really, really good books. So fun times. But I did start reading a new book, called, Old Man's War. Hold on. Old Man's War by John Scalzi. I'll butcher his name. Scalzi, I believe it is pronounced. I don't want to ruin any of this book for you just yet. I'll go ahead and do that later at a later point. But it was Old Man's War is John Scalzi's first book. And it was nominated for a Hugo Award in 2006 for Best Novel. Having read a bunch of his stuff, I've read four of his books. I don't know why I said a bunch. I've read Red Shirts, which is a fucking hilarious kind of... satire in a way of Star Trek and Star Wars, mostly Star Trek. Really, really funny book. Really good book. Then I read Lock In, which is the first book in the Lock In universe. That was a fun one. I read all three of those. I read both those books. And I need to go back and read the novella, the second one in there. But it's more of a fleshed out history of it. But I read the first two of those. I read those first two books, Lock In and Head On, now I started on Old Man's War, which is nine books. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, nine. I know some of them they're not super long books. I know that, but, so far the first book is fucking fantastic. The premise is amazing. The characters are really fun. The world he's building is pretty fucking rad. And it's just, and the cool thing about it is there's a lot of, pseudoscience stuff in it, you know, like science fiction always has in it. I say pseudo because none of it's real yet. But, you know, science fiction elements, you know, space travel and things like that. But he does a fun way of dancing around the fact that he's not going to give you real details on the science behind things. And the stuff he gives you science on is loosely explained and not like super in detail, but it's like detailed enough to know that it's like a thing in the world and that you're supposed to understand how it works briefly. He writes it in the way the characters learn about it too, is a dumbed down version of the fancy science. It's like the Cliff Notes version of science in it. And he does that so he doesn't have to try to explain stuff in detail and, you know, but it is in a fun, interesting way. But man, it is so fucking cool so far. I'm, I don't know, probably 30% in, 30%, 30, 40 maybe. Not even halfway, I don't think. But man, it is lots of fun. I've laughed quite a few times out loud. But it's spectacular. It's pretty fucking cool. I highly recommend you check it out. You can get them. I know you can get them. Like, I got them. I have them on the Kindle. It's only like $8 for the book. And even the audiobook was pretty cheap, if I remember correctly. But man, it is so good. I just can't stress how much fun the actual story is, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not even into too much of it. It's just I'm in just the infancy stage in it, but it's the ideas in it are really fun. The cool stuff he does, even in this one, as much as he does in Lock In and Red Shirts, where he ties in a lot of cool pop culture stuff. And there's these lot of inside jokes that some people may not understand. And I may have missed some too. I'm not the world's smartest guy sometimes. But there's a lot of fun little quips and in stuff in that. And he has a really good job. He does a really excellent job, I've noticed, in the other books that I've read by him. His dialogue is excellent. And this one definitely shows where he started from, and in the fact that he didn't start terrible and get better. He started amazing and has kept it constant through all of his other books that I've read so far. So, yeah, that's really it for that, I guess. It's pretty cool. But anyways, yeah, so that's it for this week's episode. We were talking about The Eighth Seal by James Tynion, and of course the stuff I'm reading is Old Man's War by John Scalzi, and The Witcher books by the dude's name I'm not going to try to butcher again, but whatever. And next week's, if you want to read ahead, next week's book is going to be Witches by Scott Snyder and Jock, does the art. It's WYTCHES. It's from Image Comics. Highly recommend you check it out before so you can kind of listen to me as I talk about it, but otherwise you can learn more about it next week and decide if you want to read it from there. That's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I'm your host, as usual, Cody, and like I always say, let's be awesome.